If you will, please join with me for a moment of prayer. Beloved Father in heaven, we thank thee for this blessed opportunity we have to come to thy house. Thou hast blessed us in song, thou hast blessed us in prayer. Now, O Lord, bless us, we pray, in the preaching and hearing of thy word. In it, get honor and glory unto thyself, and strengthen and edify thy people. And this we ask in the precious name of Jesus Christ, and amen. Right, the year of Jubilee, the year of Jubilee. I want to say, first of all, that we are living in the year of Jubilee. We're living in the year of Jubilee. And the reason that we are living in the year of Jubilee is because our Jubilee is Jesus Christ. Every year is the year of Jubilee. Every day of every year is the year of Jubilee, because we rejoice in Jesus Christ. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 8, there is the expression that we rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Not that we can't speak about it, but the idea is that we cannot fully explain it. But we rejoice in Jesus Christ with joy unspeakable and full of glory. The laws or the commandments, instructions for the year of Jubilee are found in the book of Leviticus, chapter 25. Again, that's the book of Leviticus, chapter 25. And there's some 55 verses in this particular chapter that deal with sabbatical years and the year of Jubilee. I'm not going to read all those 55 verses, but I do tell you that to stay there, because I will be going there now in just a moment and leaving there, but coming back there. So now hold your hand on Leviticus chapter 25. Now, just to start with, I want to read verses 8 through 10. Leviticus 25 and verses 8 through 10. And it reads, "And thou shalt number 7 Sabbaths of years unto thee, 7 times 7 years, and the space of 7 Sabbaths of years shall be unto thee 49 years. And thou shalt cause the trumpet of the Jubilee to sound on the 10th day of the 7th month, that is in the 50th year. In the Day of Atonement shall ye make the trumpet sound throughout all your land. And ye shall hallow the 50th year, and proclaim liberty throughout all the land, and unto all the inhabitants thereof. It shall be a jubilee unto you, and ye shall return every man unto his possession, and ye shall return every man unto his family." Now, the year of Jubilee started on the Day of Atonement. That's the 10th day of the 7th month. Now, it started evidently after they afflicted themselves. Now, again, remember, that's the 10th day and the 7th month. Go back to Leviticus chapter 16, and that gives us the instruction in verse 29. Leviticus 16 and verse 29. "And this shall be a statute forever unto you, that in the 7th month, on the 10th day of the month, ye shall afflict your souls and do no work at all, whether it be one of your own country or a stranger that sojourneth among you." That is, on that particular day, on the day that the year of Jubilee started, that is, on every day of every year, on the Day of Atonement, they were to afflict their souls. Now, I want to say they did not hurt themselves. Now, I can think of stupid things, and I don't know if Catherine's heard of this or not, but we had some, I'll say, distant family members that were rather unique. I guess you see that with my great-great-great uncle and aunt, I think it was. I'm not sure about that. Maybe just too great. But anyway, they said they dared one another. And this is just one of the stories about them, by the way. They dared one another that they could not lock hands. They dared one another. They couldn't stand to be whipped as long as the other ones did. And they got out of the yard and they did just exactly that. Now, the Israelites did not afflict themselves in that way. They did not hurt themselves to do anything to harm themselves in any way. But they fasted. And fasting, for any of us that's ever tried fasting, can be something that can be difficult. That is, it can be groaning in the stomach and other things like that. So in that way, they afflicted themselves. And they denied themselves other pleasures. They did not necessarily clean up as they normally did. I guess one thing I thought about when I read this was they had some bad hair days and other things like that. But the fact is that they didn't do things like that. But there, now again, remember, they were to afflict them of their souls, and then their affliction would be turned to liberty. And to me, that gave me a picture of going from the law to the grace. I'm going to read this scripture a number of times, or refer to this scripture about 2 more times anyway, and that's in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 1. And at the end of that verse it says, "And be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." Now, as Paul was writing that, he wrote to the Galatians. There were Gentiles in that church, no doubt, because that was a Gentile land. And no doubt, at least in my mind, there were also Jews that were part of the churches of Galatia. And so he told them, those of you that want to follow the law, he said, don't go back again to the yoke of bondage. And so when he used the expression the yoke of bondage, he was referring to the law. Now, you see the idea there, it's a picture of going from the yoke of bondage, that is, afflicting themselves, to a great rejoicing in the liberty of the year of Jubilee. And it reminded me of the scripture in Psalm 30 and verse 5. At the end of that verse it reads, "Weeping may endure for the night, but joy cometh in the morning." The idea of going from law to grace. And I've heard it used in this way. That is, those that feel like there's certain conditions that must be met in order to be saved, but then to realize that, no, there's nothing we can do. Jesus did it all. God did it all. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, by His amazing grace, He has saved us by His grace, and heaven is indeed our home. Thank the Lord for that. Now, and so that's a picture of going from law to grace. Alright, the trumpet was the sound to announce the beginning of the year. Now, the word Jubilee, by the way, means the blast of a horn. Now, I was surprised. I've tried to preach on this vaguely from time to time, and just a little here and a little there, but never, well, except for just a few weeks ago, never on the subject of the year of Jubilee, that is, as a whole. But I looked up the word Jubilee. It's translated from a Hebrew word. I don't remember which one it is. But it means that's the blast of a horn, to make an announcement. And so that's the year of Jubilee. God gave Moses commandments concerning trumpets in Numbers chapter 10 and verse 2. And I'm not going to turn it over there, but in that passage of Scripture, God told Moses to make two identical trumpets out of one piece of silver. Get two silver trumpets that would be identical one with another out of one whole piece of silver. Now, the trumpets, those two trumpets, by the way, represented the Old Testament Scriptures and the New Testament Scriptures. They are vastly different, and yet they have the same message. And the message of both Testaments is Jesus Christ the Lord. In Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 9, we find these words. He says, "Then said he, Lo, I come to do thy will, O God." That is, Jesus came to do the will of God. And by the way, that's a quote from Psalm 40 and verses 7 and 8. And in verse 8, I love it. It says, "I delight to do thy will, O God." That's an amazing thing. Now, what did he mean by that? He meant he delighted to go to the cross. Well, in Hebrews chapter 12 says he despised the shame. And yet, there was a sense that he delighted to go to the cross. And the reason that he delighted to go to the cross was because he knew that would save or redeem his people from their sins. That would redeem them from their sins. And as a result of that, heaven's pure world would be eventually there. And then the end of verse 8, Psalm 40 verse 8, it says, "Thy law is within my heart." That is, the law of God is within the heart. Remember, I know you don't remember all these, but I noticed when I was reading in Psalm 119, a call to worship, it says, "Thy law was in my heart." And that's Jesus. God's law was in his heart. And he rejoiced in God's law, knowing that by being obedient to the law of God, he would redeem his people from their sins. Listen, brothers and sisters, the trumpet was also sounded for Jesus, who, by the way, is our Jubilee. John the Baptist came announcing the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ when he said in John chapter 1 and verse 29, "Behold the Lamb of God which which taketh away the sin of the world. That is, Jesus would die for those of him, redeem them from their sins, and ultimately heaven's pure world would indeed be theirs. And so that was the announcement of the year, the beginning of the year of Jubilee, because of the beginning of the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And so the trumpet was sounded for Jesus. Now, in the year of Jubilee, there is redemption. All right, who could do the redeeming? Look with me in Leviticus chapter 25 and verse 49. Leviticus chapter 25 and verse 49. This is important. It says, either his uncle or his uncle's son may redeem him, or any that is nigh or near of kin unto him of his family may redeem him, or if he is able, he may redeem himself. Now, why were they redeemed? Well, they had debts they could not pay, and someone had to pay that debt for them. And so that was paid by a near kinsman. We have a near kinsman. It's nearer than a parent or a sibling or a child or an uncle, an aunt, or a cousin. It's nearer than any of that, because there's one that we are a part of. Jesus Christ the Lord. We were chosen in Jesus Christ. We find in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. That is, and that's just, in many ways, that's the grand plan of God's grand plan of salvation within just a very few words, if you will. That is, we were chosen in Jesus Christ. Now, notice that expression. According as he hath, or has, to use our more modern vernacular, chosen us in Jesus Christ, that means, when it says it in that way, it means not only did he do it, but it means that he keeps on doing it, or it remains effective. That is, and now God doesn't need to continue choosing us in Jesus Christ, because he did it once, and once was all that was necessary, but it remains effective. That is, we remain in Jesus Christ the Lord. We are a part of him. He is indeed our near kinsman. Now think about that. When a near kinsman paid the debt, how much of the debt did he pay? Well, I tell you, brothers and sisters, they paid all the debt. All the debt was paid. Now, and we find that in Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. That familiar verse of Scripture, which reads, "And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." I think of that verse of Scripture many times. I think that even atheists would agree, would admit, as a historical fact, that there was a woman in Bethlehem that gave birth to a son named Jesus. Now, they wouldn't say that Mary was a virgin. They wouldn't say that Jesus is the Son of God. But as a historical fact, they would believe that. Now, we as God's people are blessed to see that, yes, Mary was, by faith, Mary was a virgin. And Jesus is indeed the Son of God. And then if we believe that the first, she shall bring forth a son, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. We can believe that Jesus Christ did indeed save his people from their sins. Now, again, how much of the debt was paid? All the debt was paid. And we'll get to that just a little bit in just a moment. Now, in Hebrews chapter 9, verses 11 and 12, we find these words concerning redemption. Again, it's in Hebrews chapter 9 and verses 11 and 12. And these two verses read, "But Christ, being come and high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us." And I understand that expression there is the same as saying that Jesus has obtained eternal redemption for us. That is, that He has done it. He doesn't keep on doing it because it was effective when He did it. But it remains effective. And so Jesus has done that. Jesus has obtained eternal redemption for us. That is, we had a debt that we could not pay. And Jesus Christ, nor could anyone else pay. But Jesus Christ paid that debt for us. Now, here's where I want to get to. I mentioned that in passing this. Jesus redeemed us according to the pattern of the Old Testament Scriptures. Now remember that. There was a pattern that Jesus had to follow. I know Catherine's made dresses. I don't know if any of the rest of you have made anything by sewing or not, but the fact is that if you sew something, now some people may be talented enough to do it without it. I can do it with it, but if you sew something, you do it with a pattern. There was a pattern for Jesus to do all that He did as He walked among men, a pattern for that. And that was listed in the Old Testament Scriptures in one way or another. Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 3, it says this, that He died for our sins according to the Scriptures. That's important. Jesus died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He redeemed us from our sins, and then what, we'll go back to what the Scriptures say about redemption. That is, a debt was owed that could not be paid, and then a near kinsman paid that debt, and He paid all the debt. And that's what Jesus did for us. He is our near kinsman because we are a part of Jesus Christ, and we are a part of Jesus Christ because we were chosen in Jesus Christ, and He paid all the debt that we have, all the sin debt that we have. Alright, because debts were paid then, there was liberty. I think about various Christian financial counselors. I can think of two of them. One I'm going to mention the Lord willing in just a moment. But I think about them, and one of the scriptures that they constantly use in their programs, and I don't hear them that much because, well, it doesn't have to be in the vehicle at the time that their program is on. And then it has to be able to get a good signal when their program is on then. But one of the scriptures they mention from time to time is that the borrower is servant to the lender. The borrower is servant to the lender. Now, so there is liberty because debts have been paid. Alright, look at Leviticus chapter 25 and verse 10. Leviticus 25 and verse 10. And it reads, "And ye shall hallow the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout all the land, unto all the inhabitants thereof. It shall be a jubilee unto you, and ye shall return every man unto his possession, and ye shall return every man unto his family." Now, some of you will recognize part of that in there when it says, "Proclaim liberty throughout all the land, and to all the inhabitants thereof." That's written, by the way, for those of you that may not be familiar with it, on the Liberty Bell in Independence Hall in Philadelphia. It's written there. And that was taken from this particular passage of Scripture, Leviticus chapter 25 and verse 10. And then look at Leviticus chapter 25 and verse 54. Leviticus 25:54. "And if he be not redeemed in these years, he shall go out in the year of Jubilee, both he and his children with him." So this man, at the year of Jubilee, he may have owed something, he may have been a servant to one of his near kinsmen, but now the year of Jubilee has come, and he can go out. He is at liberty to go back to his home and to his family. The Word of God in the New Testament speaks of liberty. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 17, we find these words. Again, 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 17. "For the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty." And when we have Cedar Creek, one thing I notice every once in a while, and they're blessed with good singing there at Cedar Creek. We were when we were there, blessed with good singing when we were at Cedar Creek. But sometimes it was just better than others. And I tried to figure, well, it doesn't matter who's leading the singing. There are two men that normally did that. And it doesn't matter who's there. There's who is playing the piano. There are different ones that did that. But one practically all the time. And I finally figured out, well, the Spirit sometimes blesses the singing more than He does others. Regardless of who is leading in whatever way, then that's just the way it is. And so where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And that's just one example. Now, in John chapter 15 and verse 26, Jesus spoke to His apostles concerning the fact that He was going away. And one of the things he said concerning this was that when he went away, then the Father would give them another comforter. That, again, that's in John chapter 15 and verse 26. And it reads, "But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me." Now think about that. Remember again that the Spirit of God is the Spirit of liberty, or where the Spirit of the Lord is manifesting himself, there is liberty. Now, what does he do? How does he give us liberty? By telling us about our liberty, by testifying of Jesus Christ. And then the scripture that I referred to earlier, Galatians chapter 5 and verse 1, that is, stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. So the idea is that we're to stand fast in the liberty wherein Jesus Christ has made us free. Now, I was going to mention this one financial counselor. His name is Dave Ramsey. And there are times that Catherine and I have been in the vehicle. We listen to his radio program. And we had a series of tapes, by the way, or CDs, that somebody gave them to us. And they're good. Good financial counsel there. But every once in a while, someone that would go through his program, they would start with a little baby step, the idea, get rid of a little debt at a time, and he gave various instructions, and finally, they got out of debt. And when they got out of debt, they said, "We're debt free! Hey, we don't owe any money, we're debt free!" And I tell you, when they went through a long period of time, or shorter period of time than they thought they really could have done, then they were happy about that, and they did everything they could to keep from getting into debt again. And so, brothers and sisters, that we are indeed debt free. We are rejoicing in the fact that we are debt free. We may owe money to this one or that one, and maybe all of us do, in one way or another, for one reason or another. And yet at the same time, when it comes to our sins, listen, we're debt free. Because Jesus has paid those debts. Now, we can, with the debts we owe for a house or a automobile or whatever else it may be, then we can pay that if the Lord willing. The Lord bless us to live long enough and have good health, etc. We can pay that. But we can't pay that sin debt. Jesus paid a debt for us that we could not pay. And so we have the liberty because of His paying that debt. Now, in the year of Jubilee, and do some of it by faith. By faith. Think about it in this way. Now, most of us probably have some farmer's background in our family. Maybe we weren't raised by farmers, but we had a background. My daddy had a farm. Kathy's daddy had a farm. And I think whether you've ever known anything about farming, I think you'd say that it wouldn't be good to go 2 years without planting anything. And yet that's what God told them, to go 2 years without planting anything. And they did that. And God told them if they did it, that He would bless them. Now look at Leviticus 25 and verses 21 and 22. Leviticus 25 and verses 21 and 22. Now, this refers to, the sabbatical years. Remember, every seventh year was a sabbatical year. Then they had seven sabbatical years, 49 years. The 50th year was the year of Jubilee. Now, in this passage of Scripture, he's talking about the sabbatical year because it mentions the 6th, the 7th, 8th, and 9th years, I believe, in this passage of Scripture. But I'm going to try to show you where he's talking about the year of Jubilee also. All right. Then, that's verse 21 and 22. "Then I will command my blessing upon you in the 6th year." Now, the year of Jubilee, that's the 48th year. Okay? "And it shall bring forth fruit for 3 years. And you shall sow the 8th year." That 8th year would have been the 50th year. But we're talking about sabbatical years. "And you shall eat fruit of old fruit until the 9th year." That is the first year of the next, the second year of the next sabbatical year. Or the first year of the year after the year of Jubilee. God told them that if they planted on the 48th year, they would not have to plant and harvest on the 49th year, which was a sabbatical year. And they would not, plant and harvest on the 50th year, which is the year of Jubilee, and what they reaped on the 48th year, they would also be eating in the first year of the next 50 years. Now, that's God. So if you do that, and that's the idea of God by faith. They didn't say, well, you give us that, and then we'll do that. But God says, listen, if you do it this way, then I'll bless you, and you will be able to keep the sabbatical year and all the years of the laws of that, and the year of Jubilee, and all the years that went with that. And so they did this by faith. They could remember. Now, they should be able to do this because they could remember the years of plenty, the 7 years of plenty, and the 7 lean years in the land of Egypt. They could think of the manna that God gave them while they were there in the wilderness. They did not go hungry in an uninhabitable land, over 2 million people. They could remember the blessings of water where there was none. That is, there was one place when they went to where there was plenty of water, but it was bitter. They couldn't drink of it. God made the water sweet. There were two other times they came to a place where there was no water there. And God brought water out of the rock and gave enough to drink for over 2 million people and probably enough to sew up a little bit. And besides, their camels and other animals. Now, I tell you, I've watched cattle drink during the summertime. They come up to a watering trough, and three or four of them would get around that trough, and in just a short time, they would be just trying to get what little bit was on the bottom of that trough as it came back with an automatic water. And you can just watch the water go down. And so all those over 2 million people and all the animals they had, they were given water. And so they could remember that. They could remember the blessings of that. We have confidence in Jesus by faith. Now, think about it in this way. I've never seen Jesus, of course, with my natural eyes there on the cross. But with the eyes of faith and the mind of faith, I can see that Jesus went there on the cross. I can see that Jesus bore my sins within His body. I can see that Jesus felt my sins when He said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? I can look back in the past and see that. I didn't see Jesus rise from the dead, but by the eye of faith, I can see that Jesus did indeed arise from the grave, rose from the grave after 3 days and 3 nights, and that He ascended unto the Father. And with the eye of faith, I can see that Jesus is coming again someday. God made promises, that is, in the Old Testament Scriptures, of the coming Messiah. And God fulfilled those promises. And we can rest assured that that one main promise, I can't say there are not other promises, but we can rest assured that the promise that God made concerning the resurrection, God will fulfill that promise. And by the way, we serve by faith. We don't know how God is going to bless our efforts. When I come up to preach, when we try to sing, when we come to the house of God, we don't know how much God is going to bless our efforts, and yet we just simply come by faith. We endeavor to worship God by faith. We serve God by faith, leaving the response to Him, the blessing to Him. Now, and the food was provided. Again, remember those two scriptures in verses 21 and 22 that in the 48th year, what they harvested that, they ate in the first year of the next 50 years, God provided food for them. Jesus is our spiritual food. Jesus is that manna that came down in heaven. Jesus is the fulfillment of the manna that God gave in heaven. And Jesus Christ is indeed spiritual food for us. Now, the trumpet is continuing to be sounded. We are in the year of Jubilee. Every year, every day, we are in of every year. We are in the year of Jubilee. And the gospel of Jesus Christ is to always be proclaimed. And it is a proclamation and not a proposition. I go back to John chapter 1, verse 29. Behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. That is, He was going to do it. That's not that He proposed to do it, but He was going to do it. And this is what God hasn't done. God has indeed saved His people from their sins. And since God did it, God did all the work and so forth, and God gets all the glory. And what a joy that is to us in our lives to realize that Jesus has redeemed us from our sins. Jesus did for us what we could not and would not do for ourselves. That is by nature. We would not even do that. But He loves us in spite of our being by nature His enemy. And Jesus loves us so much Then he went to the cross for us. And then he said, the sixth of the seven sayings was found in John chapter 19, verse 30, when he said, "It is finished." Those three words, by the way, come from one Greek word, which is teleo. I've heard other pronunciations of that. I'm sure anybody that pronounced anything different, I've surely got to be mistaken. But you know by how serious I am, I think, when I say that. But teleo. Now, it was a word to use that if a man was in prison, and he was there for 10 years, to use that as an example, and he served his 10 years in prison, then his papers or whatever it was, that his records were stamped with that word, teleo. That means the debt has been filled. And when a man owed a certain amount of money, and he paid that, then his records were stamped with the word, teleo. The idea there, his debt has been paid. He doesn't owe any more. And when Jesus said, "It is finished," what he was saying was, the debt has been paid. I have redeemed my people from their sins. Alright, now, this can be spread through the preaching, and again I remind you that the word is to be sounded. And I remind you the definition of the word jubilee. It means to blast on the trumpet, a continuous sound. And that's the definition that was there. And this is what we are to be. We are to be a continuous sounding board of the gospel of Jesus Christ in one way or another. And again, the preaching, the message of Jesus Christ can be spread through the preaching of the Word of God. Certainly, that is the main way. And yet, in the first century, much of it was done by people telling their friends and neighbors about Jesus Christ. That Jesus had redeemed them from their sins and the joy that they found in it. And when others, when it pricked their lives, and they came to Peter, or Paul, or Timothy, or Silas, or Barnabas, or some minister of the Word of God, they came to hear them preach the Word of God. And our jubilee, brother and sister, we need to remember this, is a foretaste of what is laid in store for us. That is in heaven's pure world, where the Lord blesses us sometimes to rejoice in what He's done for us. Well, that's a foretaste of heaven's pure world. Now, and then finally, we should live to show our thanks to the Lord for what He's done. Again, it's stand fast. Galatians 5:1. Stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Now, I don't have a clue. Do any of you have any thoughts about trying to worship God under the law? And yet, if we're not careful, that's all of us, by the way, and that if we're not careful, we can be bound too much. We can hinder ourselves in the service of God by thinking too much about some other things, whatever those things may be. And so, God help us to follow Jesus Christ and walk in the liberty of Jesus Christ by the blessings of the Spirit of God is my prayer for Christ's sake.